brought to you by Penguin.
Paris 44, The Shame and the Glory, by Patrick Bishop. Read by Peter Noble. Introduction. In the early summer of 1945, the maternity wards of Paris were suddenly very busy. The upsurge in births was a living, breathing legacy of what had been the party of the century, that glorious Friday in August 1944, when Paris was liberated from the Germans, setting off an explosion of happiness that echoed round the world. The American war reporter Ernie Pyle arrived by jeep to witness a pandemonium of surely the greatest mass joy that has ever happened. We all got kissed until we were literally red in face, and I must say we enjoyed it, when the jeep was simply swamped in human traffic and had to stop. We were swarmed over and hugged and kissed and torn at. Everybody, even beautiful girls, insisted on kissing you on both cheeks. The fact that I hadn't shaved for days and was grey-bearded as well as bald-headed made no difference. Among the population, the longing for deliverance was so deep that some feared at first that the American uniforms in the streets must be a hallucination. But no, I am not dreaming, wrote a middle-aged man of letters, Gustave-Jean Rebaz, in his diary. The nightmare of occupation is finally at an end, and Paris has rolled away the stone of its own tomb and is reborn again. The eruption of exhilaration and relief reflected the unique position that Paris held in the world's affections. Its fate mattered to almost everybody. In November 1939, 3 months into the strange interlude of inaction before fighting erupted in the West, which the French called the Drôle de Guerre and the British the Phony War, Maurice Chevalier recorded a reassuring song. Paris sera toujours Paris was a message to the world that whatever Hitler threw at the place, Paris will always be Paris. The verses described the boarded-up statues, taped-over windows, gas masks, rationing, air raid sirens, and blackouts now marring the beauty of everyone's favourite city. But the refrain promised, in spite of all the gloom and dark, the city we all love, you'll see, will never ever lose her spark. Paris will always be Paris. The more they dim the lighting, the more we'll come back fighting, our spirit and our humour floating free. Paris will always be Paris. The defiant tone struck a chord everywhere, and the song was a hit, becoming a staple of Chevalier's repertoire. As prophecy, it was a flop. 7 months later, the German army walked into Paris unopposed. The start of more than 4 years of suffering, humiliation, deprivation, and shame. Maurice Chevalier survived the occupation. Casimir Oberfeld, the man who composed the song, did not. He was one of 77,000 Jews sent from France to extermination camps by the German and French authorities, and died in January 1945, freezing to death on a forced march, just as the Russians were closing in on Auschwitz. In 1949, 4 years after the end of the war, Josephine Baker recorded another song about Paris. Baker was born in America but rose to fame in France, where she lived for the rest of her life. Unlike Chevalier, who would later be accused of collaboration, Baker had an impeccable war record, for which she was awarded the Resistance Medal and the Légion d'Honneur. In Paris, Paris, she celebrated her adopted hometown, a corner of paradise, favourite of all my loves, its charm and elegance, the very soul of France. This too was a hit, signalling that after all the tribulations of the occupation, the city was back to its old self. Paris was doubly.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?